Welcome to Native America Calling. From Studio 869 in Isleta Pueblo, I'm Tara Gatewood. During some of our most painful, frightening, and miserable times, Native healthcare workers are there to help bring healing. It's a tough job, and the COVID-19 pandemic makes it tougher. A lot of times, nurses, doctors, emergency technicians, and therapists don't get the thanks they deserve. Join us today as we hear about the work frontline Native healthcare workers do and offer some words of thanks. We go live right after National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The Senate Committee on Energy and Natural Resources is scheduled to hold a business meeting Thursday to consider the nomination of Deb Haaland for Secretary of the Interior. The business meeting follows a two-day confirmation hearing last week where Haaland answered questions from committee members, including being repeatedly grilled about the oil and gas industry and her views on climate and the environment. As key lawmakers publicly announce their support or opposition, a number of tribal leaders, directors of Native organizations, advocates, and allies are urging Congress to confirm Haaland, making calls, writing letters, promoting a petition, and using social media with the hashtag Deb for Interior. The Cherokee Nation is including all household members of Cherokee citizens and any federally recognized tribal member in phase 3 of its COVID-19 vaccination plan. Health officials say protecting the community means vaccinating everyone. The Oklahoma tribe has administered more than 27,000 vaccines so far. Those who meet phase 3 criteria are being asked to make an appointment with the health center. Other tribal health clinics across the country are also expanding vaccinations. This week, the Alaska Native South Central Foundation in Anchorage opened COVID-19 vaccination appointments to Alaskans 40 years and older. The vaccine clinic is also open to educators and child care workers as supply allows. In Bristol Bay communities in Alaska, one feature of daily life that has stayed constant during the pandemic is subsistence. A school recognized that and decided to incorporate it into the classroom. KDLG's Brian Venua spoke with teachers and students about how that's changed learning this year.
Audrey Panamariov is a senior at Chief Ivan Blunka School in New Stuyahok. She's one of the students in the school's new subsistence class and says it's a great opportunity to learn about and practice subsistence skills.
I think that is this class gives opportunities to students who can't or aren't able to go out at home.
Another student, a junior, Gusty Blunka Jr., says he appreciates the opportunity to share stories and learn more about his culture.
I'm hoping to learn more about what our people do and maybe even live the stories that we were told. Then one day, tell my stories, teach, and help others by passing on what's passed on to me.
Josh Gates is one of the teachers. He says the class is another way for students to learn and practice a wide range of skills related to subsistence.
The obvious ones are like knowing how to properly use a chainsaw, or knowing how to make a nice fishing pole, knowing how to tie a fishing hook. But the less obvious ones are, how to maintain your tools and machines that are necessary.
Principal Robin Jones says it's a way to better align the school's curriculum with the community's traditional lifestyle.
Nothing makes me prouder as a principal than to see how eager students are to share stories and pictures of their hunts with me, because they know I will be so incredibly proud of them.
In Dillingham, I'm Brian Venua.
The Foundation for Individual Rights in Education filed a lawsuit against Haskell Indian Nations University and its president, Ronald Graham, on Tuesday on behalf of the student newspaper's editor. The lawsuit alleges student Jared Nally's rights were violated. In October, the president sent him a directive trying to restrict journalism and free speech, Nally told the Lawrence Journal World. Allegations also include the tribal college located in Lawrence, Kansas, withheld more than $10,000 for the paper's use. Graham did not respond to comments about the federal lawsuit. The directive has since been rescinded. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
Native News. National Native News is produced by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation with funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Support from AmeriCorps. Members who serve in VISTA fight against poverty while earning money for college and gaining skills. Rewarding service opportunities are available in communities across America. Info at AmeriCorps.gov/VISTA. Support by the American Indian College Fund, providing scholarships to Native students of every age for over 30 years. Applications for the upcoming school year accepted through May 31st at collegefund.org.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood, joining you live from my homeland, Sheruitui, via Skype. Healthcare workers play a big role in keeping us all healthy. Their jobs became that much more important over the past year, working long hours testing and treating and caring for patients with COVID-19. Now they're also administering vaccines that are holding hope for helping get the virus under control. They're putting themselves at risk to care for others. As you've heard on this show before, Native healthcare workers are in short supply, especially in rural hospitals and clinics, and are feeling the strain of the extra burden. Today, we're saying a big thank you to all healthcare workers and honoring the important work that you are doing. And you can join our conversation too. How have healthcare workers in your community affected your life? And do you remember the nurse or doctor who cared for you or your loved ones? Dial in and tell them thank you at 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And today we are going to start off in Santa Fe, New Mexico. We have Dr. Najoni Denapa with us. She's an otolaryngologist, and she is Owinge Pueblo, Navajo, Hopi, and Assiniboine. Our pleasure to have her here. Dr. Denapa, welcome to Native America Calling.
Thank you for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
And Dr. Denapa, of course, we're starting with a big thank you. Thank you for the work that you've been doing. And of course, the ones in your circle of connecting with people who are in need, especially of healthcare during this time. And just give us a view of what are some of the things you have witnessed about the hard work you've been seeing healthcare workers do in this past year, in this pandemic.
That's a great question. I've seen a lot of my peers and fellow physicians in the Native American community have been working diligently and very hard, working in the ICUs, taking care of COVID patients, working long hours, definitely sacrificing their time with their family for fear of exposing their family to COVID-19. You know, I've got friends that I know of who have moved back onto the reservation to practice to make sure that, you know, they're providing care to their communities from where they were working before. I have, you know, friends and family who are working in border towns who are, you know, treating all of the community around them, you know, both, you know, physicians, nurses, nursing assistants, good friends who are also working in the laboratory, running the COVID samples. That's some people that are often overlooked. But for the most part, you know, they've really been working hard. Things, thankfully, with the vaccine seem to be settling down a little bit. But those people are still working hard, and they're still seeing patients coming in very sick. And seeing, you know, both patients that recover and don't, and that is a huge emotional tally on people, I think.
It most certainly is. And especially being there in the health arena, you're seeing it up close. And Dr. Denapa, what are some of the things that you have seen just kind of shift in the medical field in terms of administering care because of COVID-19? Tell me more.
Well, so in my experience, I, as you said, I'm an otolaryngologist. Basically, that's ear, nose, and throat, head and neck surgery. So I have a very large part of my practice is working in the clinic. And then the other part of that is doing surgery on patients in the operating room. There are times when I do go into the emergency room in the hospital to see patients that have ear, nose, and throat problems. But I am not one of those providers that's treating, you know, COVID patients directly in the ICUs. It would be incidentally if they have an ear, nose, and throat issue that I'm called. But things that I am seeing change that have changed in the healthcare field for myself is one, you know, just like the rest of the world, we're using masks and face shields. All of our patients get screened before they come in to the clinic or the hospital. There's been a huge limitation on the number of visitors that patients are able to have. Every hospital is different. Some have policies that still don't allow visitors to come in and see patients. Some hospitals allow one person to come in, but that person has to be the same person. That's very difficult when somebody has a complicated medical problem. It is so nice to have family to be able to listen in and advocate, you know, for a patient. And that's really something that's been, I think, patients have had to struggle with. Other things that I've seen, you know, in otolaryngology, we've changed the ways that we use our medications. A lot of times we used to use sprays that could aerosolize some of the medication. We do no more aerosolization for fear of aerosolizing any virus particles. Every patient that has surgery gets a COVID test prior to surgery. In healthcare, we've always used universal precautions, you know, meaning gloves and things like that with patients. Now we use universal precautions with everybody, including a mask and a face shield. So that's kind of been added to those universal precautions. And then the other thing is that has changed for all healthcare providers is the concern for exposure to their family. And I would say that's a big thing that's just, you know, weighs in the back of your mind. You know, like, are you going to go home to your kids or your partner or, you know, husband or wife? Or, you know, are you also a caretaker of an elderly family member? Those are all things to think about that people have had to think about, you know, in healthcare and, you know, just being a frontline worker, even in, you know, the grocery stores or something like that. So
there has definitely been a lot that, you know, you all have taken on, and we really appreciate it. That's why we are spending the full hour learning more about the work you do. And there is also space for you, too, if you have any thoughts to add, some big ups to some of the healthcare workers that you've encountered during this pandemic. Anything you want to share about what your experience was or just your appreciation for the work they're doing, you can give us a ring. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And healthcare workers, if you are out there too, want to share a little bit of your story, things you've learned, you can give us a ring. 1-800-996-2848. And Dr. Denapa, everything that you just described and your particular practice calls for you to be up and close with people. And so your thoughts on you know, being able to navigate this, knowing that when you're connecting with patients, you are, you know, looking at things where, you know, the breathing area is. And that's one of the places where there's a lot of caution of where COVID-19 can be transmitted. And anything you'd like to share about how you just, you know, get to a point where you understand this is what it is, but you're still there helping. I think that is a really huge thing. And again, you know, we can't say thank you enough for the work that you're doing, but I'm curious how you make peace with that.
That's a great question. You know, initially when, if you think back to March, okay, we heard about this crazy virus that was going on. It's now been a year. We're back in March. It was very scary in the beginning when, you know, basically the world shut down. We didn't know if we had enough PPE for providers. And so in my practice, the clinic pretty much shut down almost completely, to where we were seeing only emergency patients that could not wait. Part of the reason for that was, one, we needed to preserve PPE for the people who really were in the frontline, people in the emergency department, in the ICUs, things like that. So anything elective, therefore, was canceled. Even elective clinic procedures, just using one mask during the day, was taking away from masks that, people who needed them more could use. That time when we were only providing emergency care was rather scary because we didn't have the information that we do now. Otolaryngology is a very high-risk specialty when it comes to COVID exposure because, like you said, we're looking in the mouth, we're looking in the nose, we're doing airway procedures. And so it was very scary. So, we hung on tightly to our N95 masks and geared up as best we could. As PPE started to come in and we learned more and more, we just basically did everything that we could to take precautions as far as wearing, proper equipment, hand washing, looking out even for our, our nurses, our medical assistants, the surgical technicians, everybody who's in the room. You want to care for everybody equally. That was a big thing for me, was just advocating that everybody had the same equipment to protect themselves. The other thing was that we quickly learned that if you took these appropriate precautions, we were able to stay safe. In my practice, there are a total of 4 otolaryngologists. I am one of them. And during that time when we didn't have a vaccine, we opened back up in May, pretty much opening our clinic full time again. And that May, June, July, August, until we were able to get our vaccine in December, all of our physicians and our clinic was able to stay COVID free with universal precautions.
Wow. And being able to get to that point where you can even say that, I think, is a celebration in itself. Dr. Denapa, hang tight. We got to go to a break here, but we are also welcoming you into the conversation too. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Go ahead and dial in. You've heard Dr. Denapa's story. You can give her thanks too. 1-800-996-2848. The Supreme Court ruling in Oliphant versus Suquamish Indian Tribe stripped tribes of most criminal prosecutions against non-Indians. On the next Native America Calling, we'll take a look at the more than 40 years since the landmark decision and the ways it's hindered tribal law enforcement. We hope you can join us.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, Strong Hearts Native Helpline is a no-charge, 24/7, confidential and anonymous domestic, dating, and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the Chat Now icon on StrongHeartsHelpline.org. This program is supported by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
You're listening to Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood from Soto Pueblo, and we are focusing on Native healthcare workers today. They've been putting a lot of extra hours in during the pandemic. Are you thankful for the Native healthcare workers in your community or any healthcare worker? Join our conversation by calling 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. With us today on the line is Dr. Najoni Denapa. She is an otolaryngologist, and she is Okeowinge Pueblo, Navajo, Hopi, and Assiniboine. Dr. Denapa, thank you for being here with us and celebrating along with you about being able to keep things at the point where they were so that more people were not infected with COVID-19, especially there working in your health facility. Anything more you want to add about that?
Well, I definitely want to join you in giving thanks to all of the healthcare providers and frontline workers that are continuing to work and have made large sacrifices. And have struggled, and you know, we're getting through it. And so a big thank you to everyone. One other thing I would like to add, you know, I talked about how we were able to stay safe in my clinic, but I, with that being said, I also want to make sure to point out that I do think it's really, really important for continue to take precautions and you know, keep, you know, exposure minimal, you know, to a minimum, and you know, keep your family safe. The science really is working out, you know, double mask if you're able to, and wash your hands. I think that's very, very important.
Thank you for that. And let's hear what people are thinking today. Again, if you want to join us, 1-800-996-2848 is a number. Today's your day to give appreciation to any of the health workers you've come encounter with. Go ahead and dial in. 1-800-996-2848 is a number. That means doctors, physicians, and anyone working at these health facilities, even the first person you meet when you walk in the door. You can share some thoughts. Maybe some of them are your family members, and you also want to commend them for their work. Go ahead, dial now. 1-800-996-2848. We're going to start off our callers in the Navajo Nation. Joining us today is Rich, who's tuned in on KUNM here in New Mexico. Rich, thank you for giving us a ring. You're on air.
Good morning. I want to give a big shout out to all the frontline workers in the Pueblos and the Navajo Nation. I just was able to drive to Crown Point from where I live in Santa Fe, New Mexico, because of my an ally, Watson Castillo of the Ojo Encino Chapter Ranchers Committee, and the work I do with tribal youth, and I've been able to do for a long time now, doing projects and erosion control and water harvesting. Just remembering that we have the whole land to take care of too, and we can do this together if we can. Even though I just got a vaccination, I can't walk around, you know, like I'm safe now. You know, I'm still going to wear that mask. So I appreciate what the doctor said about that too. We can't let our guard down. Thank you.
Well, Rich, thanks for checking in. Join us too, 1-800-996-2848. We now go to Melvin, who is in Santee, Nebraska, tuned in on KZYK. Melvin, thanks for reaching out. You're on air.
Good morning. I would like to have a shout out to my whole medical staff at the Santee Clinic. They've done a marvelous job. We've been about 5 weeks without a case. You know, and we had a PA that went to Africa during that Ebola breakout, and he knew how to, you know, quarantine and get everything prepared. And we were lucky to have him. He did a good job with our Corona's task force and educated them about shutting it down. We still have roadblocks up, and they're checking. And our whole medical staff, the nurses, you know, the guys at the roadblocks, but everybody has been pretty good about it. You know, we've had a couple outbreaks, bad ones. One where 140 people were infected out of a community of 400. It was a hard hit. It got everybody busy and active and taking care of each other. So shout out not only to the nurses and the medical staff, but the community for trying to follow the rules, wear a mask, do social distancing. And the tribes, if we could do that, please, you know, we got to keep this out of the housings and out of off our reservation.
All right, Melvin, good thoughts to you and your community as well. Thanks for calling in. We now go to Gordon in Red Lake, Minnesota, tuned in on KOJB. Gordon, thanks for reaching out. Go ahead. You're on air.
All right. Thank you for having me on. I just wanted to give my congratulations and thank you so much to Dr. Denapa. I've known her her whole life, and I just wanted to say how proud I am of her, what she's achieved, and how proud I am of her helping our people the way she has. And I just wanted to have the opportunity to say that. I haven't seen her in many years, and I just want to tell her congratulations, and I'm proud of you, Najoni.
Thank you, Gordon. And Dr. Denipan, Najoni, go ahead. Any thoughts?
Yes. Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate that shout out to me. I look forward to when we can meet each other, see each other again.
Yes, we are all looking forward to those times. And thank you for that. Thank you for calling in, folks from different areas. There's lots of time left in this hour. Dial in now. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. What do you want to say to the healthcare workers in your community? 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Also here, too, joining us out of Vermilion, South Dakota, is Elaine Yellowhorse. She is a law student at the University of South Dakota, and she is from the Oglala Sioux Tribe. Elaine, it's our pleasure to have you here. Welcome to Native America Calling.
Hello, good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
And Elaine, you know, let's keep with this. Understanding what our healthcare workers are doing to help our communities. Is there any one particular healthcare worker you'd like to give kudos to?
Oh, wow, that's a tough question. There's several folks that I would like to thank, but first I would like to thank the vice president of my tribe, Dr. Alicia Musso, and her task force team. They have been, I reached out to her after we I talked to Andy Murphy about coming on to Native America Calling, and she had told me that the task force, when she was elected into office, was put underneath her, and she was tasked with helping get that situated. And she told me that on my reservation, in Pine Ridge Reservation, they have successfully fully vaccinated over 3,000 people, which is exciting. And she also mentioned that people are actually wearing masks on my reservation, which is really, I think, is a really important thing. So I would like to say thank you to her and her team for, you know, stepping up in this time of need and, you know, organizing and getting education out there to the people. And, you know, they've been setting up in each community to help educate the folks on the vaccination and testing. And, you know, then you have Indian Health Services, the acting CEO, Dr. Sarah Jumping Eagle. She's been, you know, they've been also in the community with vaccinations, trying to vaccinate people as, you know, quickly as they can. And I did talk to one of the ladies who are administering the vaccinations, and she said they've been super busy, but she's enjoying the process because it's helping the community. And she also mentioned that she was really excited because yesterday they fully vaccinated a large group of, you know, students who are excited to go back to school. So, you know, and there's one person that, for me, I would like to say thanks to is my adopted dad, father, Dr. Mark Butterbrot, who at the beginning of the pandemic, he was on the front line, you know, pushing testing and, you know, which is really important, but equally important is that he was debunking the myths of the vaccine and of the virus. So he's been, you know, encouraging people to trust the vaccine and, you know, trust Dr. Jumping Eagle, who's from the community, to, you know, listen to what they're saying because they're the, you know, they're the professionals in this matter. And so I just would like to, you know, thank them and their teams, because their teams are comprised of folks from the community who are, you know, risking their health to go out and, you know, test and educate and vaccinate, you know, people in my community or on my reservation. So huge thank you to the Oglala Sioux Tribe Task Force, you know, to our Vice President, Dr. Musso, Dr. Butterbrot, and, you know, IHS staff who are out there in the communities working, because, you know, this is pretty much a life and death situation for a lot of folks who have underlying medical conditions. And also I'd like to say thank you to Dr. Denipa for her work in Indian Country and in the healthcare, because, you know, we need folks like her and, you know, Dr. Jumping Eagle, and who know the community and, you know, people can trust that they are passing on the right information. So I would like to say thank you to all the healthcare workers who are working and, you know, putting themselves at risk, but also putting their communities before them. So it's a very selfless act, and I commend all of them.
Definitely. And you want to add some thanks to the hour? 1-800-996-2848 is how you do it. And Elaine, I also understand you have experience as a healthcare worker yourself. Anything you want to share about what you understand from that time and how you're seeing things shift, adjust, or maybe even improving?
Yeah, so, you know, before I came to law school, I was a emergency medical technician for my tribe. And there, you know, we, on my reservation in South Dakota, we had the second highest call rate in our state, with next to Sioux Falls, which is the largest city in South Dakota. So we had, you know, there was a lot of medical and trauma calls that we would get. And now it feels like this pandemic has brought people together within the community and, you know, the professionals, the healthcare professionals, and, you know, they are showing a lot of compassion towards, you know, people, my people. So it's just really great to see, but also sad that it's taken something like the pandemic to, you know, make us all realize that, yeah, we do care about each other. And, you know, we do want people, you know, essentially to survive. And so that's, you know, very sad, but also a good thing, because we still have compassion for each other. And I know my family, you know, I had just yesterday gotten an email from my hospital here in Vermilion saying I was, you know, can be getting the vaccine now, like to get my first dose. So I scheduled it and I'm getting it tomorrow, which is exciting for me because I have been cooped up in, you know, my wife and I haven't been, you know, taking the kids out. We haven't been visiting family or friends. And, you know, it's just been very, very, you know, lonesome to the point where, like, I miss my family and my friends. And going, like, I haven't gone to Walmart in a long time. I haven't gone shopping. You know, my wife, I have an underlying medical condition, so she does all the shopping and, you know, the laundry. And, you know, so it's just things like that that I miss doing, and I can't because of this virus. So it's just, you know, I just can't wait for things to go back to normal because, you know, us, you know, Native Americans are inherently, we like having big dinners and inviting people over to visit and feeding people and, you know, just getting together, and you can't do that right now. And I know my family in Wounded Knee, you know, we've lost several family members to COVID over the past, you know, through this whole pandemic. And, you know, they were family members who people in our family, like, knew, you know, and it's just been really sad to go through that process. And also, you know, you see people, like, who carry our stories, our language, that have all that knowledge. You see them passing away, and, you know, you kind of wonder, well, who has that knowledge now, you know? But, you know, there's a lot of things in this pandemic that are very tragic and, you know, has brought a lot of, you know, my family together and, you know, the communities together. So it's, you know, it's just been very hard year for folks on my reservation and, you know, in my family to experience this. And it's just good now that, you know, we have people on our task force, like even on tribal council, who care enough to organize and push the vaccine and push education on the community, because, you know, we have this long, long mistrust in the government. So it's good that, you know, you have community members stepping up to help educate everybody and get them vaccinated and tested and everything. So.
Sure. And, you know, just thinking about our ways and how we understand, how we connect, and giving that appreciation or even just the recognition for things that people contribute to our community. And specifically, we're talking about the contributions our healthcare workers are making to our communities. And for those who are learning more about our Native nations, a lot of times there are health facilities that are directly in our tribe, servicing our community specifically. And sometimes it's a challenge too, because a lot of places are remote, which also means the dedication of the people who show up to work and some of the things that they are having to think about and consider, especially when there is a pandemic happening. And so we're hearing a little bit about it, and maybe you play a role in this somehow, either as a healthcare worker or maybe even a loved one or just somebody who went to a facility and you really thought about what this all means, especially to those who are helping those to heal. If you want to share some thoughts, dial in now, 1-800-996-2848. I got another caller on the line. We're going to say hi to Wings in Hopi, Arizona, tuned in on KUYI. Thanks for giving us a ring. Go ahead, share your thoughts.
Thanks for taking my call today.
Thanks for calling.
As I stated to the gentleman, I had served as an EMT for 40 years on Hopi. Before this pandemic set in, I decided to hang up my uniform. But in hindsight, I just kind of felt that I kind of abandoned my coworkers when this pandemic hit. But, you know, I feel for them, you know. A few of my coworkers that I was working with had decided to go ahead and hang up their uniforms also because of the pandemic and the unpredictability of this virus.
Having to think about that and take a lot of things into consideration. I'm hearing your story and just really thinking about, you know, the things that we are faced with and what our healthcare workers are faced with. We got to take a break real quick, Wings, but I want to hear more from you. Hang tight. Want to hear more from you too by you calling in. Dial in now. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. We definitely look forward to you calling in.
Did you know COVID financial relief in the form of forgivable PPP loans is available to small business owners and independent contractors, including artists? DreamSpring has worked with New Mexicans looking to open or expand their business for over 25 years, and now they're helping provide PPP loans. Information, including how to qualify, at dreamspring.org. That's dreamspring.org. DreamSpring supports this program.
Thank you for tuning in to Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood, and we are considering our healthcare workers, those in the health professions, anywhere from doctor to the first person you meet when you walk into your health facility, and we're hearing about their lives and giving appreciation too. If you want to join us, call right now. 1-800-996-2848 is the number to join us. I want to go back to our caller, Wings, who joins us out of Hopi, Arizona, listening in on KUYI. And Wings, I want to hear more about your story. Go ahead and continue.
Okay. Anyway, like I said, I just kind of felt like I abandoned my coworkers. I didn't know this pandemic was coming around until after I had retired from EMS on Hopi. And just hearing news about our village members, our Hopi members passing away from this pandemic, you know, when I was on duty, when I was working, we had deaths, maybe two deaths maybe every other month. But when this thing hit, you know, there was death almost every day, and not just one, but maybe five at the max. I don't know. But I was hurting in a way for my coworkers. And coming from a Native background, you know, we're not used to this kind of situation, I guess. You know, all the elders and people that had underlying medical conditions, those were the people that were passing on, but this was young people my age and maybe younger. You know, some of them were in tip-top condition health-wise, and you know, it just was unseen as to who was going to succumb to it. You know, this is a very unpredictable virus, and people that are infected don't know it. And the people that got infected, they didn't know it for at least 4 days after that and being exposed. And that's, you know, a little kind of late to realize that you have been exposed to the COVID. You know, so this thing is, you know, like I said, it's taken a lot of our tribal members. And like I said, I was just hurting inside with my coworkers having to deal with death almost every day when they came to work. But the people that I work with and the people that are working now still at OPMS, I would like to commend them for hanging in there, and the rest of the health workers at the Hopi Healthcare Center. You know, like one of the callers said, you know, they're putting their lives on the line, coming to work every day and, you know, not knowing that, you know, if they've been exposed to the COVID, you know, there's a lot of guidelines and protocols that we are following, you know, to keep the COVID away from ourselves and our loved ones, you know.
Mm-hmm. In Wings, I feel how heavy it is on you, and really understand, you know, when we lose a community member. And a lot of our communities are very closely knit. The entire community feels it. And, you know, with the things we've had to adjust, we're not able to do things like we were able to more than a year ago. And understand how heavy that is, you know, and the weight that you're carrying too, thinking about this, and your fellow healthcare workers who are out there too. And I really appreciate you giving, you know, your own thanks and keeping them in your thoughts. I'll keep you in mind too. Wings, I really appreciate you calling in. And, you know, this is the reality of what we are hearing from our tribal communities, especially those in the health field. And, you know, if you're taking an extra moment to consider all of this, maybe you haven't thought of it in a long time, or just thought of all the layers that go to it, and now you have some thoughts to share too, you can join us at 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Wings, good thoughts to you. Stay strong. And, you know, when we think of everybody that's involved, there are a lot of people, and with them come families. And I really appreciate everybody that we heard from on the hour today too, also thinking about considering, you know, the family members, the extended circles of all of these different healthcare workers, and keeping them in mind too. I guess we got to give thanks to the families as well. Maybe that's something you want to do today. You can dial in 1-800-996-2848. Thanks to all of our callers today. I got one more person to introduce you to. To do that, we're going to go to Seattle, Washington. On the line is Esther Lucero. She is the president and CEO of the Seattle Indian Health Board, and she is Diné and Latina. Our pleasure to have her here. Excuse me, Esther, welcome to Native America Calling.
Hi, good morning. It's a real pleasure to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
And Esther, you know, I just got to open the floor to you. I know you got a lot of appreciation for the people who are doing this kind of work, so go ahead.
Yeah, it's an incredible honor to be able to acknowledge the work that our team members have done. The Seattle Indian Health Board is an urban Indian health program and a federally qualified health center. We also operate the Urban Indian Health Institute, which is one of 12 tribal epidemiology centers in the nation. And so when I think about essential service workers and I think about our team, and I think it's very important for us to acknowledge folks who, yes, are direct service providers like our doctors, nurses, nurse practitioners, medical assistants. And it's also important to understand that we have a whole system that has been completely dedicated to serving our people, sometimes at the expense of their own families and sometimes at the expense of being able to go home for ceremony or, you know, to support folks when we've lost so many in our tribal communities. And I'm just really proud of the team overall. So I would have to say that we have 200 employees in our organization, and we have been working diligently since March. We've even suspended vacations. We've had to remain incredibly nimble to be able to adapt with all of the changes that have occurred due to COVID. And so if we think about the beginning of this pandemic and our commitment and needs related to acquiring the appropriate PPE. For us as a community health center, it was really important for us as well to be able to provide testing for our communities. And I think back to March, and I just remember those battles just to get the appropriate PPE for our team members to make sure that we were creating a safe environment for them. And I think about all of the changes we've had to implement, anywhere from, you know, UV lighting in the dental program to front door screening and taking temperatures, and the ways that that our team have actually been able to move through these changes and serve our people. We call our patients our relatives, serve our relatives in a good way has been incredible. And when I say in a good way, they've been able to keep smiles on their faces, and they've been able to hold them with kindness and love, as we're moving through a lot of fear and tragedy. And so I think that our central service workers deserve so much, just not just gratitude, but just deserve so much respect and reverence, quite frankly. I think about our public health workers who have been diligently, you know, sorting through the data, doing analysis, making sure that we get the appropriate public health messaging out, you know, public health messaging that means something to our communities. I think about our elders program and how we had to make more harm reduction decisions, meaning that we never actually closed down services because we knew if we did, many of our elders wouldn't have a place to go. Here in the city of Seattle, we have an incredible challenge with homelessness. In our elders program, 40% of them are homeless. And so we had to make adaptations to make sure that they could get a warm meal in a safe way, provide them with screening tools and appropriate PPE to keep themselves safe. So I don't know. I can't sit here and say enough about how grateful I am for our teams in every single role, from our maintenance workers, who've been keeping and enhanced our cleanliness standards, to our frontline workers who've helped people get enrolled in insurance so that they could be covered if they had to be hospitalized for any reason, our clinical pharmacists who've been running our vaccination clinic. I think about our pharmacy team who've now had to take on managing inventory. I think about this entire system, and I just hope that people recognize that essential service workers move well beyond direct service providers.
Yes, there is so much that is woven into it. And, just even the people that when we say healthcare workers, maybe you don't think about some of the other people that you mentioned, but everybody who enters those facilities or is working to make sure that they get going or keep going and get the things they need, they're also included in all of this too. You know what? We got another caller. We're going to say hi to Zelma, who is in Toppenish, Washington, tuned in on KYNR. Zelma, thank you for calling in. You're on air.
Oh, Chef Maitsky, I just wanted to give a shout out coming from Toppenish. I like the way that our healthcare workers adapted to working outside because, you know, it's really hot in the summer and it's really cold in the winter time, and they've had that tent outside for a long time. And a shout out to our older healthcare workers that maybe paved the way for us, like Evelyn Umtouch and Karen Umtouch and Dr. Quimp here, just to name a few. I don't have a lot of names, but and then to our younger healthcare workers, like Sharnu Azure, that's like studying and taking care of her family and all the things that you mentioned above about our healthcare workers. But also to the ambulance people. We have our White Swan ambulance, and I listen to the scanner with my husband all the time. And, you know, our EMT and ambulance people have been so busy in our area with not just the Indians, but the non-Indians. And the the focus and the danger and the help and the compassion that they must have. I mean, I haven't spoken to any of them because I'm at home, but I listen on the scanner, and they've just been incredibly busy and a significant help. And, you know, to run an ambulance 24 hours a day. Shout out to Ellen Swan and then to the Tribal Council for helping them out. And I just thought I would bring that up because it was, you know, another element of healthcare. So thank you.
Thank you for calling in, Zelma. Thank you for your words. And if you still have some more, you can even post on our website. You can even send it to us in a tweet. 1-800-99-NATIVE is our Twitter handle. Zelma, thanks for calling in. And Esther, you know, just hearing about this, maybe this has even inspired, the pandemic has inspired more people to go into the health professions. Or I think of the students, too, who were well on their roll into stepping into all of this. And then they were presented with a pandemic. And so many things to consider of the people who are new to the circle or who have been attracted to the circle because they, too, want to step up and help. Is there anything you want to say to those that I've just mentioned, Esther?
Oh, yes, definitely. I encourage so many young ones to enter into health professions, especially because we need more Native service providers and we need more Native folks in healthcare just generally. I think that it offers like a whole different level of responsibility and commitment when we have our own people serving our people. I would also say that, you know, I know that the school systems have been incredibly challenged, and out here in the Seattle area, Denise Juno is a member of the Blackfeet tribe, and she's a superintendent of public schools. And I can tell you, one of the things that's beautiful about Indian country is the way that we work together. She and I are working on a way to be able to vaccinate special education department for Seattle Public Schools. And I think that just generally, Indian country has done an amazing job with the vaccination process. And I think that the reason why is because we know how to serve our community. We know that our elders are valuable. We know that our culture keepers and language speakers are valuable. And by being able to have authority and autonomy about the way that we're addressing this pandemic, we're able to shine and just really show how capable we are.
And Esther, any words of encouragement to those who are in this arena?
Yes, I would say that just stay strong because I think that we can see hope at the, you know, by the end of summer, hopefully we reach that herd immunity point. I do encourage folks to continue to wear their masks so that we can keep our communities safe and just know that all of the work that has gone into addressing this pandemic and keeping our communities safe is incredibly valued for generations to come.
Thank you for that. I go back to Dr. Najoni Denipa, who's here with us. And Dr. Denipa, just want to give you a moment. Any final thoughts?
Yes, I definitely want to echo what Esther said in her gratitude for her teams. I am so thankful for all of the staff that work with me who've supported me day in, day out, both before and after the pandemic. So a huge shout out to, you know, our medical teams that are supporting us. I would say, you know, in summary of everything, you know, if you have the opportunity to get vaccinated, please do so. I do believe in patient autonomy. You have the right to make your own decisions. If you're not sure, talk to your physician if you have questions. But if you have the opportunity to get vaccinated sooner than later, please get vaccinated, especially on Indian country. The opportunity is there. You know, thank your healthcare workers who are exhausted both mentally and physically by wearing a mask and washing your hands and getting vaccinated. I think they would agree that that's one thing that they would appreciate. I also have to say, you know, if you have a healthcare condition, in my institution, I do feel like we're pretty darn safe. So get it, you know, get it taken care of. Don't be afraid to go to the hospital and see a doctor. You know, wear a mask, wash your hands, but please take care of yourself.
All right. And Dr. Denipa, we got to wrap things up. Some great words, too. leave us with, things to consider and think about. Thank you for joining us, Dr. Najoni Denapa. Also, thank you to Esther Lucero and Elaine Yellowhorse for joining us again. And, of course, thank you to all our healthcare workers out there, and including the one right here in Isleta Pueblo. Thank you for everything that you're giving to us. Join us again tomorrow. We're going to be talking about the Oliphant Supreme Court decision. I'm Tara Gatewood.
Support by Amerind, Indian Country's 100% tribally owned insurance partner. Amerind works with tribal governments and their business enterprises to provide effective commercial insurance coverage, strengthen Native American communities, protect tribal sovereignty, and help keep dollars in Indian Country. More information on property, liability, workers' compensation, and commercial auto solutions at Amerind.com. That's Amerind.com.
How me takuya piki? We chose on uapi tokaya ikigana kapo. Wana March 15, 2021. Waheha luhapicha uch iguapo. La kozania oti iliapo isamasola chihantas. Nish lil yayo, healthcare.gov, nish lil mas apkayo. 1-800-318-2596. Le wot khaniki, Medicare and Medicaid oti atahi apelo. Ho, hechetuelo.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico, by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service. Music is by Brent Michael Davis. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.